I grew up in Irondequoit near the corner of St. Paul and Titus. And at the corner of St. Paul and Titus, there were two Jewish synagogues, Temple Beth El and Temple Beth David. And there were tons of Jews living in the neighborhood. It was walking distance. And I had a paper route, so I got to know all my Jewish neighbors. They tipped me generously, unlike the stereotype of Jews being stingy and cheap. One day when I was collecting, Mrs. Winters said to me, the snow was falling, and she said to me, I was 11 years old, she goes, "It's getting to look a lot like Hanukkah." So we were taught, my parents taught us to say Happy Hanukkah to the Jews, Happy Christmas, Merry Christmas to the Christians. I grew up having very warm feelings toward Jews, and I was shocked when I got older to hear and to see, to feel the enormous hatred and hostility put on Jews over the centuries. Our parish staff went to Washington, D.C. this past week to visit the African American Museum, and also we visited the Holocaust Museum. I don't recommend seeing both of those the same day, but we did. And we were saturated with a history of hatred toward black people and toward Jews. At the African American Museum, we saw cruel details of slavery, Jim Crow, segregation, and present-day white supremacists assaulting black people. At the Holocaust Museum, we saw the horrible persecution against Jews. Historians call this the longest hatred. History's longest hatred, over 2,000 years. Emperor Tiberius, who was in power when Jesus was living, expelled all the Jews from Rome. Emperor Claudius did the same 12 years after Jesus died. But far worse than what the Romans did to the Jews is what Christians did to the Jews. Three major books of the New Testament that we read all the time, the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of John, and the Acts of the Apostles, are loaded with hostile comments toward Jews. And we preachers have to edit out the certain lines that are offensive. The early Christians started calling Jews Christ killers, which is totally erroneous because the Romans killed Jesus, not the Jews. In 1096, there was the first crusade, killing thousands of Jews in the Rhineland massacres. In 1290, England issued the Edict of Expulsion. All Jews were expelled from the country of England. In 1347, there was a black plague, the bubonic plague. It decimated Europe. One out of three Europeans died, so people were looking for scapegoats. It's the Jews. They blame the Jews for the bubonic plague. 1391, Christians conducted the massacre of Spanish Jews. In the 1400s, the church operated the Spanish Inquisition against Jews and others. In the 1800s, for decades, the Russian Empire had a protracted persecution against Jews. And 80 years ago, this coming Friday, November 9th, 1938, was called Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass. That's when the Nazis went through Austria and Germany and knocked out the glasses of all the business owners who were Jews. They burnt down the synagogues and they killed 92 Jews that day, which led to the Holocaust, where 6 million Jews were killed. But the hatred hasn't ended. In the last 2 years, there's been a big spike in acts of hatred against Jews. Actually, it's gone up 57% the last 2 years. Last year in Charlottesville, Virginia, white supremacists chanted anti-black and anti-Semitic slogans, and our president even validated the white supremacists who did that the next day. But then that brings us to a week ago, Saturday, October 27th, which was the deadliest attack on Jews in American history. 11 were killed at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. History's longest hatred. Amid all this hatred, we turn to the Gospels for hope. A Jewish leader comes up to a Jewish rabbi, Jesus, and says, "Which is the greatest commandment?" Now, at that time, that was a hotly debated topic. No consensus on which was the greatest, because there were 613 laws. Notice when Jesus answers, what's the greatest commandment? He doesn't say, worship me and call out my name day and night. Many Christians think he might have said something like that, but he doesn't. When he gives the answer, what's the greatest commandment, he looks to his own scriptures, the Jewish scriptures, the Hebrew Bible. And he says, he combines two laws, one from Deuteronomy and one from Leviticus. The one from Deuteronomy says, love God with your whole heart and soul and mind and strength. Love God. That's a great commandment. Not worship God, not sacrifice to God, not mutilate yourself to God, but love. What a great commandment to love God with our heart, with our emotions, with our minds, rational capabilities. Love God with your strength. You know what that means? I think you do. I think everybody knows what that means. Every once in a while, you have to love God with all your strength. That means when there's nothing left, when there's just a spark, there's hardly anything left, and you still love God. Like when you lose your spouse, or when your child dies of a heroin overdose, or when your loved one is in an accident, or when you're going through a divorce, or when you got a diagnosis that's terrible. You have to love God with your whole strength. You can just barely do it, but you do. You're able to do it with your whole strength. So that's the first commandment, love God. Second commandment from Leviticus, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So that's how you love God, is by loving our neighbor. G.K. Chesterton said, the Bible tells us to love our neighbors and also to love our enemies, probably because they are generally the same people. When the lawyer asked Jesus, who is my neighbor, he was hoping to limit the definition. He wanted Jesus to just say, well, just these people over here, not them. Just love these folks over here. But instead, Jesus expands it. He expands it, and he tells the story of the Good Samaritan, the person who was hated by the people around Jesus. And the Samaritan is the one who loved his enemy, treating him as a neighbor and helping him out of the ditch. So what a challenge for us is to love our enemies, our neighbors who are enemies. Enemy is anybody who threatens us. So family members who hurt us, neighbors on the street who irritate us, co-workers who annoy us, friends who have opposing political views, drug dealers, human traffickers, corrupt politicians, gang leaders, white supremacists, all of them are our neighbors. And Jesus says, love them as the way you love yourself. So it's interesting. Jesus uses two Jewish commandments, love God, love your neighbor, putting both Jews and Christians on common ground. The law of love applies to everybody, Jews and Christians and anybody else. However, the night before he died, he upgrades these two commandments by saying this, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus is raising the bar. Yes, love God, love your neighbor, but do it the way I love you. And the next day he showed what that was all about. When they nailed him to the cross, he forgave the Romans who were doing that. And he promised paradise to the thief who died next to him. He was loving God with his whole strength, and he was loving his enemies. So, the greatest lover in history is a Jew. I was in Toronto this past week, attending the Parliament of World Religions. 220 religions were represented there, big religions, small religions, people from India, Africa, South America. Seven of us from Spiritus Christi were there, including Reverend Myra, Reverend Mary, and Marcy De Jesus, who gave a talk last night at this big conference. Their talk was on what one faith community can do to transform the world. One of the keynote speakers at the conference was Jim Wallace from the Sojourners community, and he said this, the midterm elections this week are a referendum on white nationalism. The midterm elections this week are a referendum on white nationalism. White nationalism is the belief that white people matter more than other people. Nationalism is on the rise in places like the United States, Russia, Turkey, Poland, the Philippines. Nationalism, along with racism and religious fanaticism, has infected the world with the most perverse forms of violence and hatred in the last century. What do you think of white nationalism? What do you think of white male nationalism? What do you think of the record number of women running for office this week? What do you think of how we treat Jews and Muslims and LGBTQ people? How do you feel we treat African Americans and other people of color? What do you think of the caravan coming through Mexico, fleeing drugs and violence from Central America? Should they be met with 15,000 military troops, or should they be met with some kind of heart and compassion? Somebody suggested that maybe 15,000 Christians ought to go down to the border and say, you know what, your lives matter to us. I don't know how we can fix all your problems, but just know we really care about you. Sister Margaret Deegan wrote a letter to the editor in the DNC yesterday, and she said, in light of the events happening at our southern border, I believe it is time to close down the Statue of Liberty and cover it up until we once again become a welcoming nation. I like how she said, until we become again a welcoming nation, because we will. So is Jesus' commandment to love God and love our neighbor and love our enemies impossible? Fast forward to a week ago Saturday, October 27th, 2018, in Pittsburgh. The shooter came in to Allegheny General Hospital, and he was shouting, I want to kill all the Jews. I want to kill every Jew. He had no idea that three of his doctors and nurses were Jews. Dr. Jeffrey Cohen, a Jew who was a member of the synagogue where the shootings took place, who knew 9 out of the 11 victims, they were his friends, he came to see the shooter. And he asked him compassionately, are you in pain? The shooter said, I'm fine. Who are you? I'm Dr. Cohen. I'm the president of this hospital. The FBI agent who was guarding the shooter said, I never could have done that. So here's a Jew, a member of a synagogue where his friends were killed, overseeing the care of the shooter and asking him, are you in pain? Just like the Good Samaritan who gives medical assistance to his enemy. Just like Jesus who, though in pain himself, extends love to his enemies from the cross. As Chesterton said, sometimes our neighbor is our enemy, and we need to love them both. You know what I think? I think that on October 27th, Jesus was smiling on Dr. Cohen, a fellow Jew. And I bet he said, Dr. Cohen, you nailed it. Love God and love your neighbor.